Good morning. So I have a hard time keeping up with Sensei's schedule, and I didn't know that he was going to be here this morning. But he asked me if I had planned to give a talk this morning, so I said that I had planned to do a reading from the book called Seeds for a Boundless Life by Zen K. Blanche Hartman. He said, go ahead. So that's what I'm doing. I happened to be reading this other book and came across what the word Zenkei meant, which is the Dharma name for Blanche Hartman. It was a couple of definitions, but one of it meant the entire works. The whole works through everything. Everything works through the whole. So anyway, just put that out. So I'll begin. The book is divided into three parts, and the third part are questions and answers that were given in one of the magazines. It might have been Tricycle. Over a period of time by Zen K. Blanche Hartman to various people who would just write into the magazine with questions about their practice. So this particular excerpt is called State of Mind and Practice. And in this particular excerpt, the question that was asked is, in the words of this person, I've been practicing in the Theravada tradition for 6 years. About 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic mild depression, which occasionally escalates into full-blown depression. Person says they've been taking medications for it, and at first it was helping, but now it's not, and it's destroying my mind. I'm finding it difficult to concentrate. My memory is deteriorating, and I'm becoming somewhat apathetic, and this state of mind is interfering with my medication practice. Since becoming a Buddhist, I've wanted to ordain in the Theravada tradition and devote the remainder of my life to intensive practice. But I'm married, and I'm also concerned my current state of mind would lead to failure as a monastic. Any idea? So that's the question, Zenkai. Her answer is as follows. Practice is to see clearly what actually is as it is. Our effort is to stay with our actual present moment experience, moment after moment, and not be distracted by hating what is or wishing for an imagined fantasy of some experience other than just this one as it is. This is not what we want to hear. Most of us, at least those not born into an Asian Buddhist culture, have come to Buddhist practice because of some aspect of dukkha in our lives. I have not yet met anyone who diligently practices because she or he is too happy or content. While dukkha is usually translated as suffering, it is derived from a word that signifies the off-centeredness of a hole in a wheel, thus producing a bumpy ride. So something feels off to us, is uncomfortable, or needs attention. Anyway, so I'll just continue with this because I think it's helpful anyway. She goes on to say, I wonder if when you started to practice 6 years ago, you were hoped that meditating would end your depressive tendencies. After some years of serious practice, it seems that you have found that meditating can show your state of mind, how it changes, resolves, and changes again to something else. This is exactly the Buddha's teaching of impermanence and no self. You, and indeed all of us, have the painful state of wanting suffering to be gone. Meditation introduces us to our suffering time and again. Only the determination to accept what comes, exactly as it is in our bodies and minds, leads us to see that the wish for what is to be different is dukkha itself. Accepting our whole being as it is, its pain, both its physical and psychological elements, is the beginning of equanimity. She then goes on to talk about monastic life. The Buddha taught the practice of meditating on the four immeasurables to help us with feelings and states like depression and so forth. Not so much to eliminate them, as to show us we can equally have feelings of loving-kindness, compassion, pleasure in other people's happiness, and equanimity. So she calls those four things, loving-kindness, compassion, pleasure in other people's happiness, and equanimity, the four immeasurables. And I've just incorporated it into my practice when I begin to sit in the morning to ring the bell four times and each time call up each one of those four immeasurables. So I'll ring the bell once and I'll say, you know, to myself, loving kindness. I'll ring the bell again and say compassion, and then continue on in that manner. She uses pleasure in people's happiness. She also refers to that as empathetic joy and then equanimity. So we can learn that it is possible to work with our anger and fear rather than pushing them away or being ruled by them. You and your life, as it is, need loving attention. If you sincerely ask for help, it will come, though perhaps not as you expect. You don't mention your teacher or a similar connection. Dharma friends can offer real direction and an opportunity for you to discuss your concerns. Thank you.